Distractions. 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 They're all around us. They're all around us. A distraction, according to the dictionary, is something that makes it difficult to think or pay attention. It's something that amuses or entertains you so that you do not think of what is really important. It is something that prevents us from giving full attention to something else. Synonyms: diversion, interference, hindrance. Now, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Before we're done here, before I get through preaching, there's going to be some distractions. I guarantee it. Because Satan uses distractions, especially when the Word of God is preached. So, will you check your cell phones right now and turn off any electronic device? Okay? Now, come on, do it. Distractions. You know, most of us are easily distracted. I think most of us spiritually, we could almost say we have ADD, attention deficit disorder. It's kind of like the guy I heard of. I heard of this guy was so distracted over so many things that his wife had to help him with almost everything. So, one day the wife comes in and says to him, "Here is the sweater that you asked me to find." And her husband looks at her and says, "Are we going someplace or am I cold?" Distractions. They're all around us. Today, I think it's hard to remain, listen, focused on what is really important. What is really important? One author that I read wrote this: "For most people in the 21st century society, life consists of rabbit trails rather than highways. They are always on the move, but getting nowhere. The distractions of life dictate their decisions and control their schedules." That's kind of a description of life in the 21st century. Things distract us from what is really important. So the question kind of comes, what is really important? What's really important? And I think in our text this morning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 35, we find out what's really important. Take a look at verse 35. And right at the end of this verse, I think the Apostle Paul tells us what's really important in life. Do you see it there? The last words, at least in my translation, it says, "Undistracted devotion to Christ." Undistracted devotion to Christ. King James says that you may attend, unto the Lord without distraction. Without distraction. You know, that's not a new concept. You know, Jesus taught that in the Gospels, didn't he? Remember when he visited the house of Mary and Martha? And Martha is running around and she's getting things ready for the Lord and getting the supper prepared and everything. And Mary's sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And you remember Martha, she's ticked. And she comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, tell my sister to help me." And you remember what he said? I love it. I mean, I guess I love it. "Martha, Martha, You are so bothered. You are so busy. You are so distracted with so many things. Mary's chosen the best. He said, listen, there's only one thing that's important. And Mary got it. You're distracted. You're pulled apart in all these kind of ways. And there's only one thing that's really important. One thing. Undistracted devotion to Christ. That was it. And nobody's going to take it away from Mary. Nobody's going to take it away from her. I wonder if the Lord ever looks down from heaven and says, Lester, Lester, you're so distracted. And, you know, the stuff Martha was doing was good stuff. It wasn't bad stuff. You know, bad stuff can distract us, but it doesn't even have to be bad stuff. It's good stuff. Lester, Lester, you're so distracted. There's only one thing important. Undistracted devotion to Christ. Can you say that with me? Undistracted devotion to Christ. The only thing that's important. The only thing that's important. Our attention needs to be focused on Jesus Christ, serving the Lord, living for Christ, loving Christ, glorifying Jesus Christ. And those words, undistracted devotion to Christ, I think we could write that over the whole text that we read this morning. That's what I see Paul getting at in this text this morning. You know, that we would not be distracted. There's things that in situations, circumstances that distract us, that hinder wholehearted devotion to Jesus. Even good things can distract us. This morning, what I want to do is just look at this passage with you for the next moments and look at a number of things that can distract us from giving Christ our wholehearted devotion. There were some things that were distracting the Corinthians. And some of these things, and some of similar things creep into our life and take our heart away from Jesus. Take our heart away from the only thing that's important to life. By the way, what is that? Undistracted devotion to Christ. What is that? Undistracted devotion to Christ. That's the only thing that's important. That's the number one thing above anything else. But there's distractions. And as I looked at this passage, I broke it down into three areas that can tend to distract, or were distracting, actually, the Corinthians, and can tend to distract us. The first is this: distractions related to our calling or station in life. Verses 17 through 24. The principles in verse 17. Look at verse 17. He says, only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner, let him walk. And so I direct in all the churches. That's repeated in verse 20. Each man must remain in the condition in which he was called. It's repeated in verse 24. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. I think that the meaning of this is that we are to lead the life that God assigns to us and live for God, live for Christ where we are. Where we are. Another way of saying this, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. Where God has placed us, we should live out our Christian faith. Only, see at verse 17, only as the Lord has assigned to each one. You know what that reflects? That reflects a high view of the sovereignty of God. God has assigned us. He has called us to a certain place in life. He calls us to certain, I believe, Personally, I believe he calls us to certain jobs. I believe he calls. I don't believe you're in your neighborhood because you just liked that neighborhood and wanted to buy a house there. God calls you there. God assigns us high view of the sovereignty of God. We're assigned, and wherever we are to practice undistracted devotion to Christ. Now, that doesn't mean if you're in a job, you never change. Right? I mean, it doesn't mean you can't change jobs. It doesn't mean that you can't better yourself and want to maybe go back to school and get some more of education and get another job. That doesn't mean that. But in the meantime, don't focus on that. Don't focus on, well, when I get another job or when I get another, then I'll serve Jesus. We are to serve and love Christ right where we are. Right where we are. And look at verses 18 through 24, because here the principle is applied. He applies it in two ways. First of all, verse 18, he says, was any man called when he was already circumcised? He's not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He's not to be circumcised. You see, Jewish believers weren't to try to be Gentile believers. And Gentile believers weren't to try to be Jewish believers. They were to serve Christ. If you're a Jew and a believer in Christ, serve Christ where you are. Amen. If you're a Gentile and you're a believer, serve him as a Gentile. Amen. That's what he's saying here. Don't be caught up and distracted with an outward rite, like circumcision. In fact, he states, you see it there? Circumcision is what? Nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. It's just an outward rite, which in the throes of eternity means nothing. Don't get caught up in temporal, trivial things and become distracted from the eternal. That's what he's saying, I believe. What really matters is Christ and our obedience to him. Verse 19b, what really matters, do you see it there? Is keeping the commandments of God. Amen. Being obedient where you are. Don't be always looking to, oh, I have to change. And once I change, once I get in another situation in life, then I'll serve Jesus. Serve him now. Be obedient where you are. That's what's important. Now, I think application today, sometimes Christians get caught up in all sorts of things that are distractions that don't mean anything in the throes of eternity. Rabbit trails that lead away from devotion to Christ. Don't do that. You can even get caught up in religion and get led away from devotion to Christ. Good things. Second thing he says in verse 21, were you called while a slave? This is interesting. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He says, if you were called as a slave, don't worry about it. But if you were able also to become free, rather do that. Half the population in the Roman Empire were slaves. Many of the original Christians were slaves. And he said, were you called a slave? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If you can get free, get free. That's okay. But serve Jesus where you are. He goes on, were you called a freeman? If you were called while free, you're Christ's slave. And if you're a slave, you're Christ's freedman. That's not something that should concern us. Our social status in life, wherever you are, at the lowest or at the highest, give undistracted devotion to Jesus Christ. He is the focus of our life. He deserves our love. He deserves us to give him the glory, us to serve him wherever we are, whatever calling, whatever station in life, whatever your social status or your calling, you have the opportunity to focus your life on Jesus Christ, walk it out in whatever calling you're in. And don't get distracted by, well, if I could just change where I am, then I would serve Christ. Then I would give him my devotion. Then I would center on him. No, no. Paul would say, give your undistracted devotion to Christ right where you are right now. Amen. Right now. Be careful. Your desire, most important thing in life. By the way, what is that? What is the most important thing in life? Undistracted devotion to Christ. Thank you. I forgot that. Second area of distractions. First one had to do with calling or station. This is interesting. Distractions related to our circumstances and concerns in life. Verses 25 through 35. And the first one he mentions here is marital circumstances and concerns. And he speaks, first of all, to the singles in verses 25 and 26. Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercies of the Lord is trustworthy. I think then that this is good in the view of the present distress, that it's good for man to remain as he is. He says here, he didn't have a specific command from Jesus Christ on this, but I've got the Holy Spirit here. And let me tell you something. Singles, it's okay to be single. Listen to me. It's okay to be single. One is a whole number. And singles, if you are single, use your singleness to be devoted to Christ. Don't be so concerned with your marital status that you miss the wonderful opportunities of singleness. Opportunities? Yeah! If you're single, you've got some wonderful opportunities. Look at verse 32 through 35. He talks about them right here, doesn't he? Verse 32 through 35, but I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure, what is it? Undistracted devotion to Christ. You see, if you're single, you don't have a spouse to take care of. And I'll tell you, some spouses take a lot of time. Women? Amen. It's true. And some women. Well, we won't go there. You don't have that. You don't have to take care of a spouse. And you don't have to take care of kids and raise kids. And that can take a lot of time and a lot of headaches. You don't have that. Now, there's a privilege, again, and we'll talk about this, but you know what? When you're single, you know what? If your focus is on, I just got to get married, you know what? It'll take your focus off of Jesus. And what you should do is, you know what? Singleness is great. It has some great privileges and opportunities. Serve the Lord. Give him your undistracted devotion to Christ. Now again, let me just say that I said this before. I don't think it's wrong for a single to look for the right person. If that becomes your focus, then that's wrong. But look for the right person. But it's better to try to become the right person. And trust God. Right? And if it's God's will for you, he will bring someone into your life. I believe that. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give thee the, what? Desires of your heart. If that's his will, he'll bring someone. But in the meantime, use your singleness to serve the Lord. What a great opportunity to go on short-term mission trips. You can do that. You can do that. What a great time to get involved and start a ministry. My, oh my, oh my. That's what Paul's saying here. You're single? Use your singleness for Jesus Christ. But then he goes on to talk to the married here. What about married couples? Glad you asked. Verse 27. Look at verse 27. He says here, you know, are you bound to a wife? Don't seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Don't seek a wife. But if you marry, you haven't sinned. And if a virgin marries, she hasn't sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this world, and I'm trying to spare you. If you're married, don't get distracted by discontentment. Listen, Erwin Lutzer said marriage is like flies on a screen door. The ones on the outside want to get in. The ones on the inside want to get out. And what a distraction that can become, huh? Boy, if I just wasn't married to my spouse. Boy, then I could serve Jesus. Forget that. You are married to so-and-so. Serve Christ. Be devoted to Christ. Maybe, yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. My spouse, my husband doesn't, he's not a Christian. Oh, my husband, well, he claims to be a Christian, but he's not a practicing Christian. Well, boy, does he need an example of somebody that's undistracted in their devotion to Jesus. Yep. Amen? Yes. Amen. Don't let that distract you. Don't get to, well, if I just wasn't married, or if I was just married, or what. You know, that can be a distraction. That can be just a distraction. Don't get distracted, you know, by these things. And somebody says to me, yeah, but you know, Pastor, you know, marriage does take a lot of time. You know, I've got to put so much into it and so much into kids. I just don't have quite the time for Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you. Do you see what it says here? This is interesting. Look at verse 29. And don't get this wrong here, but he says, but this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none. What does that mean? Well, you know what? We have responsibilities in marriage relationship, right? Amen. I'll tell you what. And we should fulfill those responsibilities to our spouse. I have responsibilities to my wife. And scripture says, if I don't meet the needs of my own family, I'm worse than an infidel. So he's not saying just ignore your spouse. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying, you know what? There's something more important than your marriage. There's something more important than family. And that is our devotion to the Lord Jesus. Marriage is just a picture. It's just a picture. And there's something more important. Marriage is great. I love my marriage. I love my wife. I love my kids. You know what? But there's something more important than that. And that is my devotion to Jesus Christ. And by the way, I think the best thing I can do or you can do for your family is have undistracted devotion to Christ. And I'll tell you, your family will be blessed. That's what he's saying here. We can even get distracted. I'll tell you what, I think one of the biggest distractions sometimes today in the 21st century is family. It's all family, 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 marriage, 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 marriage. And you know what? People forget Jesus. We can't do that. Then he goes down. Another one of the circumstances or concerns in verse 30 is adverse conditions and concerns. You see it there in verse 30? He says, and those who weep as though they did not weep. Folks, there's a time to weep. There's a number of families in our church right now. Number of people that are mourning. Having lost a son. Having lost a husband. Now even today having lost a father. And they're mourning. You know, and there's a time to mourn. There's a time to cry. There's a time to weep. And that's not what he's saying here. But there's a time, too, to put away the mourning and put away weeping. And even in our weeping, even in our mourning, we need to be devoted to Christ. You know, if we get our eyes off of the Lord while we're mourning, I'll tell you, our mourning will turn to despair. It will. I've seen it. Someone said this, don't mourn so much that you make people think that you do not believe in heaven. Ooh. Ooh, that's powerful. We grieve, but we grieve not as those who have no hope. And we've got to be careful, folks, because we can grieve, and we've all been there. And maybe some of us are there right now. We lose a loved one, and there's that grief. And that's human. But if we let that grief become our focus and take our eyes off of Jesus and stop serving the Lord, that's not good. We get distracted by the wind and the waves, and we begin to sink in the sea of despair. And that's not what God wants. Amen. As you weep, keep your eyes on the Lord. Give him your undistracted. Don't let the grief distract you so much that you don't give your devotion to Christ. Then he goes on in verse 30b, not only the adverse conditions, but good conditions. Listen to this. Good conditions, pleasures. And those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. You know, good times can distract us from Jesus. Did you realize that? Good times. We can get our eyes on having fun and enjoying life and forget Jesus. And the parable of the sower, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, do you remember what the thorns and the thistles were? You remember that choked the seed? It says they were I was trying to think of all three of them. There's three that are mentioned. He says the thorns and the thistles were the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of the world. The pleasures. If we get our focus on, you know, life is about having fun. Life is about just enjoyment. Then it can take our eyes off of Christ. Now, don't get it wrong. Does God want us to be joyful people? Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No, always, and again I say rejoice. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have joy in him, and I think he wants us in him to enjoy life because it's a gift of God. No matter what my problems, life is a gift. He wants his joy to be made full in us. But he doesn't want me to get my eyes on the joy and on the joys and get distracted from my relationship with him. Undistracted devotion to Christ. And then he mentions another one here in verses 30c and 31, and that is our material pursuits can distract us from Christ. And in our materialistic society, it's easy to get to let the material things distract us from what's really important. So look what Paul says. And those who buy as those who did not possess. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. Those who buy. I'm going to go to Medlin now. Do you like to shop? How many? No, I won't ask you. Do you love to shop? Love to get stuff? Shopping's fine. But if you get your eyes on shopping, I know people would die if they couldn't shop. I mean, they're just gotta shop. And I agree with who was it? The pastor of the chapel, Knut Larson. He says, I think they shop in hell. Now that's him. But you know what? We can get our eyes so much on getting stuff and on what kind of shop. I can't understand. Now, I'm probably going to offend somebody. But you know, when it comes to, what is it? Is it the day after Thanksgiving? What do they call that? Black Friday. And they stay up all night. Do you see the guys camping out in front of Best Buy for 2 weeks? Now that's like getting distracted, huh? So they can get a $50 iPad or something. I don't know. That's distraction. And if that's what you live for, you know what? You're distracted. It will distract. It'll pull your heart away. But I live to get stuff, the material things. Do you know what? Did you see what it says there? The form of this world is passing away. Yeah. All that stuff is gone. It is. You know, that's why John says in 1 John, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world, what? Passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What's important? It's not the stuff. I'll tell you, there's only one thing that's important in the world. I mean, really, Jesus said one thing. One thing. What is it? Undistracted devotion to Christ. Don't let the stuff of this world distract you from devotion to Christ. Well, we've seen the calling and status in life. Those areas can distract us. We've seen the circumstances and concerns of life can distract us. One last area, and that's the distractions related to the complexities and questions in life. Now, I see this down in verses 36 through 38. There was a need for discernment. In fact, this whole section of Paul's letter, he's writing to the Corinthians because they were struggling with certain questions. And Paul, in 36 through 38, is giving advice to fathers concerning their daughters and marriage. Fathers, listen to this. Fathers in that day decided who their daughters would marry, when and if they would get married. Fathers with daughters out here, what do you say to that? Amen. 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 I think we should go back to biblical times. They decided if, when you would get married. And I'll tell you, they had a question here. You know, should we let our daughters get married now? Or should we keep them from being married? And Paul answers this. There were some adverse circumstances in Corinth. We're not sure exactly what that was. Adverse circumstances in Corinth. So they should we let them get married or shouldn't we? And so in verse 38, Paul says, so then both he who gives his daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. Basically, he's saying it's okay either way. It's okay either way. But they had questions. They had questions. They were kind of, should we do this? Should we do that? You know, when life gets complex, especially maybe today when we are raising our children. Is it kind of complex to raise children today? I remember, and it's not in here, but I remember Jim Dobson, you know, Focus on the Family. He went to his dad once and he said, "Dad, did you have a lot of problems like raising us kids up? And did you agonize like I agonized with my kids over raising?" You know what he said? "Jim, I never gave it a thought." There was a day when it's always been hard, okay? But there was back in the day, parents, you didn't have to think too much about raising your kids. Now it's complex. Now it's, what should I do? What school should I send them to? Should we homeschool? Should we do this? I can't let them do that. It's complex. And there's other complexing problems, where sin abounds. Life gets complex. Where sin abounds, chaos comes about, and it gets harder. And I'll tell you one thing with me, and I think with my wife too. When we were raising our kids, it was so easy to get so involved. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you know what? It can distract you. You got to be careful with that. And that doesn't mean you don't pray about things and you take them to the Lord and this kind of thing. But you know what? If they become the focus of your life, they steal the most important thing. And that's undistracted devotion to Jesus Christ. Now, just as an aside, one thing, verses 39 through 40. How do you get discernment? And I just want to give you this. When there are complexities and questions, where do we find discernment? I'll tell you what. Can a woman remarry when her husband dies? Yeah. How do we know? You find discernment in the Bible. I'll tell you what. Listen to me. You got to read this book. You got to study this book. You got to. You can't live today without this book. You can't live today. One sermon a week is not enough. You need discernment. Can a woman remarry if her husband dies? Yes, Bible says so, but only in the Lord. Amen. Then another avenue of discernment is godly counsel, or the wisdom that comes through counsel. Paul says it here. He says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit-directed opinion. And I'll tell you what, sometimes when you're making decisions, it's good to go to a godly man or a godly woman, because where there's a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Now you got to watch who you go to. A lot of people give you counsel, but it's not godly counsel. And then another avenue of discernment is the Holy Spirit. He says, "And I think I have the Holy Spirit." The Spirit gives us discernment, doesn't He? So when the Word of God and the wisdom, or the wisdom of counsel, and the witness of the Holy Spirit line up, you can bet that's the will of God. But start with the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, conclusions and applications here today about this. The most important thing in life. If I were to come to you right now and ask you, what's the most important thing in life?
Undistracted devotion to Christ.
That's right. So you know what? I have to ask you a question. Is there anything in your life right now that's distracting you from devotion to Jesus? Let the Holy Spirit touch you right now. Is there anything distracting you from wholehearted devotion to Jesus? If there is, I'm going to invite you to come and just say, "Lord, I confess this to you. I humbly come. I confess this to you because I want the best in life. I want to know you. I want undistracted devotion to you. But secondly here, you cannot have undistracted devotion to Christ if you don't know him. If you have never received Jesus Christ, if you have never accepted him as your Savior, you can't be wholeheartedly devoted for him if you have not given him your heart. The first step is to accept Christ. The first step is to, by faith, believe that Jesus died for your sins. You're a sinner. If you die in your sins, you will be separated from God for eternity. You need forgiveness. If you believe that he died for your sins in your place, and you believe he rose from the dead, and the Bible says if you open your heart by faith, this morning he will come into your heart and save your soul. So my question, have you accepted Christ? If you haven't, I want to invite you. When we sing this last hymn, I want to invite you to come and just say before the Lord, Lord, I'm humbling myself before you. I know you oppose the proud. You give grace to the humble. You know, Lord, I want to receive you into my heart right now so that I can give you undistracted devotion and live my life for you. You say, well, there's a little voice in my ear right now saying, do it tomorrow. You can do it next week. You're sitting in the middle of the congregation. I'll have to ask everybody, excuse me. Don't listen to that. You know why? Because of what it says in verse 29. Look at 29. The time is short. Now, he may mean one of two things. He may mean life's short. You may say, I'll accept Christ tomorrow. You don't know you'll be here tomorrow. And neither do I. We may come back next week, and maybe one of us is not going to be here next week. We don't know. There's only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know what, folks? Life is short. The longer I live, I'll tell you what. Man, is that becoming a reality to me. It passes like that. Or he could mean, time is short. Jesus is coming. You know, Paul believed in the imminency of Jesus' return. Paul believed Christ could come back at any time. In fact, I believe he thought he was going to be alive. He thought he was going to see it. Christ, folks, he said time is short 2,000 years ago. We are 2,000 years closer. And if time was short back then, time is real short now. In fact, somebody told me, you know what? You know what's coming up in September? I think it's September. The Feast of Trumpets. And you know what? The trumpet, you know, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Pastor, Jesus might come on the Feast of Trumpets. And you know what? He may. But I got news for you. He doesn't have to wait for that. He could come today. That's why it's imperative, folks, that if you don't know Christ, you need to come and receive Christ today. I plead with you. I plead with you. Come and receive Christ. And if you are a Christian, I'll tell you what, we need to start living for Christ. Amen? Because there's only one thing that's important. What is it? Undistracted devotion to Christ. Lord, we bow before you today. Forgive us for all the distractions. Forgive us for, Lord, for getting our eyes off you and on the things of this world. And where we have spiritual ADD, Lord. Forgive me for that. And Lord, help us to give you what you deserve. Our wholehearted devotion to you. Lord, Holy Spirit, touch our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.